It's funny and creepy all at the same time. I don't know how it manages that, but reach out. Reach out and touch someone. That's the overall theme for today. And who remembers the rotary phone? Yeah. There's a little antique shop right down on the Island Highway, and we've brought a few things from the fella there. His name's Les, wonderful man, and they actually have a rotary phone that still works. And as we were walking through the store, my oldest daughter Abigail, she thought it was like for sale, and so she's picking it up and she's dialing in. The fella says, "Excuse me, that still works." And I was shocked. I didn't think anyway still had those. Anyways. Reach out and touch someone. And we're going to look at Jesus' example of that today. And we find that in Matthew chapter 8. If you want to turn there, we're going to read the first few verses together of Matthew 8. Now, to give you a little context, this is Jesus has just finished the Sermon on the Mount. This is where it picks up. It says when Jesus came down from the mountainside. So he's just finished the Sermon on the Mount and he's on his way down. It says, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Let me ask you this morning. Have you ever felt like an outsider? Yeah, of course. Right? Everybody at some point in time has felt like an outsider, like they don't fit, they don't belong. Maybe if you've ever traveled to a different country, it's very natural. Of course, right? If you've been to somewhere other than, Canada or the United States, if you've traveled somewhere different than maybe they don't speak English, if you don't speak the language, you just naturally feel like you're outside or outside of it, like you don't quite fit. Or maybe have you ever experienced somewhere where you know you should belong or you should fit, where it just makes sense that you should belong, you should feel like you belong, but you don't. Sometimes that happens in families, can happen in workplaces, it can happen in schools, it can even happen in church, where people come in and they think, well, I should fit there, but they don't feel like they do. They can feel like they're outside of what's happening. Church has its own culture. You know that? We have our own culture, and that's a good thing, don't get me wrong. It's good that we have our own culture, but in that, if you've ever gone somewhere that isn't the same as your culture, you know for the first little while you feel lost, right? You feel out of place. So think about that. When people come into church for the first time or the first few times, they're learning what it works like here. And we have a big part to play in helping them feel like they belong. Because everyone has experienced the times where they have felt like they don't. Do you remember how it felt? It's not nice, is it? It's not pleasant. Everyone's felt like an outsider. Now, in the Jewish, in the Hebrew culture, in those times, they considered anybody with leprosy, they considered them to be afflicted by God. So you got leprosy because you or somebody in your family had sinned somehow, had done something, and so God has afflicted them with leprosy. And so they considered it to be something that came from God as a punishment for your sin or somebody else's sin. And the word that they would often use to describe lepers was unclean. So they were told that they were unclean. And, leprosy is a skin condition where eventually your body parts begin to fall off and it's not nice. And so what they would do with people with leprosy is they could no longer stay in the town. They could no longer stay in the city or the camp. They would be pushed outside. And many times lepers would create their own colonies because they wanted to be together. But they were really pushed out and made to be outcasts. The reason for that was fear of the leprosy spreading, but it also had to do with, so it had twofold. One was to protect them physically, but the main reason was because they viewed leprosy as an affliction from God. And so they said, out you go, because God has not approved of you. And so lepers would find themselves outside of the community that they grew up in. They would find themselves separated from their family. They had to stay at least 6 feet away from a healthy person. And the healthy people had the right to pick up a rock and throw it at them if they came within 6 feet. Think about that. Right? And so, and lepers were made to wear these special clothes, cloaks, that would identify them as lepers. So you would know, you would see them coming from a ways away. And so as you would see them coming, people would pick up the rocks to get ready, to drive them away. So lepers would beg outside the town for food because they couldn't work, and just to try and survive. They were the ultimate outcasts. They didn't feel like they belonged anywhere anymore. Now, in that day, in that culture, the temple was the hub of the city life, or the town, the village, whatever. It was the hub of life. The reason for that was within the temple or the church, the market existed there. So it would be like the superstore would be, you know, or the QF would be out there. That some of you would be like, that would be convenient. right? So the market was there. It's where you went to worship. It's where they went to find work, and it's where they went to socialize. All of their life circled or focused around the temple. It was also, of course, the place where God physically dwelled among the people of Israel. So think about this. When they're put out of the city, when they're put out of their community, they lose everything. They lose it all. They can't go to church anymore, so they can't go in, they can't pray, they can't make sacrifice for their sin. They can't talk to a priest or to a fellow believer. They can't go into the market, they can't find a job, they can't be social in any way. So the word unclean actually applied to them in so many more ways than just the physical condition, because they considered them afflicted by God. They looked at them and they said, you're just unclean through and through. And here you have this incredible story. Jesus just gets done preaching. And it's his best sermon, right? And he's coming down, and this guy that shouldn't even have been there. And the reason I say that is, now the reason he got the opportunity is because Jesus is outside the city, right? He's up on the mountain. But there's crowds of people. They would have seen him. It's honestly pretty impressive that this guy got to Jesus without being pelted with stones. How desperate must he have been? It's impressive that he makes it there. So there's the opportunity as he makes his way to Jesus. He's cloaked in the clothing that identifies him as a leper. Now, consider that if you've maybe heard of, you know, the scarlet letter that you're aware of, but just consider if you had to wear a certain kind of clothing based upon the mistakes and sins you had committed. How devastating would that be? How shameful would you feel if everybody could know the things that you've done? And so this man, as he comes and he's cloaked in the leper's clothing, it isn't just to identify his physical condition. It's as though he's wearing the shame of the affliction of God on his life. It wouldn't have been easy for this guy to get to Jesus. He must have been... He must have known his need was incredibly desperate. He took the risk. He took the risk to push his way through the crowd to get to Jesus. Because he's thinking, in his mindset, he's also thinking, my leprosy is an affliction from God. I wonder sometimes as he comes to Jesus, because he says, Lord, if you're willing. And I wonder if in his mind he's thinking, okay, I'm afflicted by God. Jesus, you might just be as likely to strike me dead as you are to heal me. Can you see some parallels as to what people think when they're coming into church for the first time? Have you ever had a non-Christian friend say, well, if I walk in the building, it'll probably burn down? Guess who makes them think those things? Yeah, believers do. For years, we have been so consumed with guarding ourselves against sin that we have made the world feel as though they don't belong within the house of God. Now hear me, I'm not saying the ways of the world belong in the house of God, but the people of our world do. And so, you just have this incredible example of Jesus. He says, I am willing. And he reaches out and he touches him. Now, leprosy was transmitted by contact. So the fact that Jesus touches him is pretty stunning. But he does. He reaches out and he touches him. And in touching him, Jesus not only destroys the disease that's afflicting his body, he destroys all the effects of it as well. Jesus reaching out and touching him is as much the indicator that the man is no longer physically unclean as it is that he's no longer socially, spiritually unclean either. That it's all gone. It's all meant to be destroyed within him. Every Sunday that we gather, every small group that gets together, every midweek program that happens, people come in with needs. Sometimes desperate. Many times wondering if they're going to be accepted. If anyone will show them kindness or compassion like Jesus showed this man. Who here hasn't experienced rejection from friends or family? Who here hasn't struggled to accept their own self? Within this room, many of you would struggle with how you appear physically. And it becomes a deep difficulty whether or not you're going to accept yourself or not. Now, we do this to each other. Our world, our culture certainly does this to us, right? Puts all kinds of pressure on us in terms of how we should appear physically. Right? You can't be too old. You can't be too young. It's like we're all supposed to be eternally 25, right? Isn't it true, though? Now, well, 40 is becoming the new 25, I think. But it's there, right? People have experienced rejection. How they look. Just consider what's happening in our world right now. People are rejecting their own gender. And the church has an answer to this. God has an answer to this. We have to be willing to reach out. Say we're willing to know them, to get involved in their life, no matter how messy, how afflicted they appear. Because God has a very different plan for them than what's happening to them in the world. You know, sometimes as a church, because we're a different culture than the world, sometimes we unknowingly make it very difficult for people to come in and be a part of us. We don't do it on purpose. Not, most of us don't do it. There would be some of you that might. I can remember years and years ago in a church in Chatham, there were people that they sat in the same chair, like the same pew, every Sunday. And one time some visitors were sitting there, and no joke, they stood there and they said, excuse me, you're in my seat. And they stood and stared at them until they moved. Yeah. That's awful, right? Now, those of you that are used to sitting in the similar spot, maybe next week you should consider somewhere else. Get to know some different people. We have to make room, right, for more people, for new people. That's one of the reasons we're talking about going to multiple morning services. You know, there's some room over here. I've noticed a pattern in our church. Because the doors are there, these two areas fill up the most, and then this one's always a little. So if you're used to sitting over here, maybe try this side next Sunday, right? But this is why we're talking about, we need to make room for people. Sometimes we make it unknowingly difficult for people to get up close to Jesus. If you've gone to church for years or your whole life, or if this is just a part of your life, attending church, sometimes you can lose sight of the fact that we can be a pretty intimidating bunch. Not because we're trying to be. It's because we don't think about what it's like for somebody brand new walking in. Right? We have our own language. It's not entirely different, but I mean, we talk about things a little bit differently. You know, we have different expectations. I've heard, you know, when you remember Pastor Ken was here and he's talking about why do they do karaoke before somebody gets up and preaches, right? You have to understand our world's coming from a very different place. We're seeing people come in to our church. That's exciting as God's doing things among people's lives. We have a lot to do with whether or not we make room for them. It takes a lot of courage for somebody to walk through the doors of a church for the first time. It takes a lot of courage because they don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what to expect. Am I going to be accepted? Is somebody actually going to reach out and be friendly to me? Is somebody going to show me any compassion or kindness? Because they're usually coming with some desperation, with some need, with feeling some affliction in their life. And we have this incredible opportunity to reach out, to welcome them, or we can throw rocks. Clearly, we're not supposed to throw rocks. They're trying to make their way to Jesus, and we can make it easier or more difficult for them. We can do a lot to help people feel like they're welcomed and wanted here. You can do a lot. You can do a lot. Be friendly. You don't, just be friendly. Be kind. Everybody try this. Come on. Smile. Isn't it amazing how a smile makes you feel better? You, and it makes other people feel better too. It actually makes other people think you're happy to be here. And hopefully it makes them think you're happy they're here. Be friendly. Smile. Introduce yourself. Hi, my name is. Ask them their name. Ask them, you know, I don't think I've ever met you before. What brought you to church today? It's okay. And if they say, I've been coming here for 3 years, say, I'm really sorry. I just haven't met you yet. It's okay. Don't be insulted. Because if they're asking you that, you probably don't know them either, right? Be friendly with one another. Ask people to sit with you. You want me to ask a stranger to sit with me? Yes. Yes, I do. Invite them in for coffee after. Tell them a little bit about our church. Or if you don't know, connect them to somebody that does. It's funny why, you know, the pastors can help, but the ushers know lots. Do you know, on a Sunday morning, I consider ushering and greeting one of the most important ministries that happen here in the church. To me, it's as important as the worship and the preaching of the word and the kids ministry. Those things are all, we need those. But those people set the tone. If they're miserable, like, I mean, if you're coming in and they're unhappy and miserable, it's not going to go well probably for most people, right? Thank you to those of you that serve in that ministry. Seriously. We can do a lot to help people, to reach out, to help them feel accepted by simply showing kindness to them like Jesus shows to this man. He demonstrates this incredible compassion and kindness by reaching out, by touching him and healing him. Again, leprosy is transmitted by contact. So when Jesus touches him, it had probably been years since anyone had touched this man. Imagine how lonely he must have felt and how life-giving it must have been to have Jesus physically touch him. We have this incredible opportunity day in and day out. Not just here on Sundays. It can be in your workplace. It can be in your home. It can be just with your neighborhood or in your school. We have this incredible opportunity to reach out to touch people with compassion and kindness. The compassion and kindness of Jesus. To extend a hand instead of throwing a rock. To be like Jesus means that we show compassion even to those that we think don't deserve it. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you haven't felt kindness or compassion for a very long time. Let me say to you, first off, that Jesus loves you so very much. And secondly, my heart's desire is that this is a place where you can find kindness and compassion. And understand that we are all still human, and sometimes we throw rocks instead of kindness and compassion. But the goal that I believe God has for us is that no one walks in and they walk in outcasts, but don't feel like they leave feeling like they belong. That's a good goal for us as a church, isn't it? Mother Teresa said this. She said, "The greatest disease today is not leprosy or tuberculosis, but the feeling of being unwanted." That's pretty stunning, right? From a lady who spent her whole life serving people that had leprosy and tuberculosis. She understood how deep the disease ran in them. That it made them unclean in every way. People come in and their lives can be messy. Your life might be messy. You need to know that's okay. It's okay to come in messy. It's okay to say, you know what, I'm a work in progress, because we all are. And my hope, my heart, is that you find compassion and kindness that Jesus that would reach out to you through us, through each and every person here, and tell you that you can be made clean. That you can be set free from the problems and the things that afflict your life. So we can become compassionate people. We can become kind people like Jesus. Some of the ways that happens is when Jesus looks at this man, I don't think Jesus sees the leprosy. I think Jesus sees the man. It's important for us to look past people's problems, their afflictions, and their issues. It's important for us to look past the areas that we disagree with them. No matter how wrong we think somebody else is, that we look past it and see them for who they are. Somebody that God loves very much. Someone that Jesus died for, gave his life for. The reason that we need to see them that way is because it will help us to not treat them as an outcast. You know, there's a temptation to devalue people because of their problems. There's a temptation in our world. Maybe it's just in the church, I don't know. But there's a temptation to devalue people because of their problems, their addictions, their issues. Their bad behaviors or their beliefs. To see their problem instead of the person. And Jesus, in order to live in the kindness and compassion of Jesus, we have to look past the problem to see the person. Compassion and kindness starts with us making a choice. And the choice leads to a change of attitude. Being like Jesus in this way requires us to make that choice to be like him. Now, obviously, it's not just that simple, right? Or we would all just make the choice. I often think that, you know, people say, well, you should just have faith. And I often think, well, if it were that easy, if I would just, yep, all right, I got it. Here we go, right? We're trying to encourage one another, but it isn't always that simple. If we could just make the choice and it was done, that would be easy. But it does start with a choice. The choice is foundational in the change. We grow then in compassion and kindness, first off, when we recognize our own leprosy. Everybody here has sinned. Each and every one of us deserve to be outcasts, but we aren't. Why? Because of the kindness and compassion, because of the love of Jesus. So we have to look at our own lives and realize, okay, everyone's sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that, that scripture later goes on, it says, that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. We were all outcasts. We were all unclean. Not one of us deserves it more than the other. It is all about the kindness and compassion, the love of God. It's offered to everyone. And the fact is that in this room, everyone has a story. We don't even know this man's name. We don't know anything about him. But we do know, okay, he would have had parents. Don't know if his parents are still alive. He was a person. He would have had an everyday. He would have had a Monday. He would have had a Tuesday. He lived every day. He might have had a wife. He might have had kids. He had a story. It's tempting, it's easy to just say, well, he was a leper. But you know what? He had a life before he had leprosy. It's important for us to know and understand, to identify with our own leprosy and understand that everybody has a story. Everyone walks in with difficulty. Everybody walks in with victories and failures in their life. Everyone walks in with something that is potentially afflicting them. If you didn't walk in with any afflictions, oh, praise God, that's fantastic. I'm not kidding. But if you did, understand that this is meant to be a place where you find the compassion and kindness of Jesus. That his desire is to set you free. So we grow in compassion by understanding our own leprosy and by understanding that everybody has a story, something that they're walking through or have walked through. No one plans to end up with leprosy, right? No Hebrew kid said, someday I'm going to be a leper and live outside the city, beg for food. People don't come into church and think, this is what I wanted for my life, was to feel separate from humanity and separate from God. We understand that that is the result of sin, and Jesus is the answer for that. When they come in to our culture, do they experience the kindness and compassion of Jesus? Or do we throw rocks? Obviously, we want to be like Jesus. We are called to be like Jesus. And finally, the way that you grow in compassion and kindness in your life is simply by practicing it. When you practice it, it will multiply in your life. To put it into practice, that means, so you make a decision, you say, okay, I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to show kindness and compassion to people, no matter how much internally I want to choke them. Those of you that laughed, you're the ones that really have that inside, right? No matter how much you want to identify their problem instead of them as a person, you say, I'm going to choose this because I want to be like Jesus. And I recognize that I'm only in this because of Jesus to begin with. And so I'm going to begin to practice kindness and compassion and love towards people, whether I agree with them or disagree with them, whether they've offended me or hurt me, I'm going to show this. It's not going to be based upon what upon my own thinking or feeling in terms of thinking that this is what they deserve because of what they've done. It's going to be based upon who the person of Jesus is, who reaches out and touches a leper. Compassion and kindness allows someone else to throw off the cloak of shame that they feel at being an outcast. Know that. You can show compassion and kindness to somebody. Hey, you've probably all experienced it where you're having a bad day or something's just not right, and somebody comes along and they demonstrate some kindness to you, and it's as though it sets something right inside you. Where it's like, you know what, I was having difficulty, and now that you've been kind to me, I actually feel like I have hope for today. That is throwing off a cloak that is afflicting you. It could be shame, or it could, I don't know. But I do know that our kindness, compassion towards people helps them throw off that cloak of shame and come into godly relationships. It's important for us to know that people with leprosy don't have to be contagious when we act like Jesus. Jesus lets this man get up close to him. What that means is we need to let people get up close to us. Think about this for a moment. Jesus spent the majority of his life as an outcast, as an outsider. Those are the circumstances of his life. He was conceived and born out of wedlock, which in that time was deserving of death. And in that time would have, should have meant that he wasn't actually allowed into church. But he went in anyways. He was born outside in a barn. His family was poor. And he was crucified outside the city that he loved so much. He did all that. He took on everything it meant to be an outsider, to be unclean and to be an outcast, so that you and I and our world could receive the full acceptance of God. So my encouragement, my challenge to you today is just this. Is to be kind and compassionate, to be loving towards one another and every person that you see walk through the through our doors, no matter how different or different they are to you. That you not make it about your own personal preferences, what you like and dislike in somebody else, that you make it about treating them as Jesus would treat them. So that they can find the love and the acceptance, the healing that God offers their life physically, because we believe this to be a place where people can be physically healed, but they can find healing in their social, in social ways, in spiritual ways, in emotional ways. They can come in and find the love and the compassion of Jesus. We all need it. We all desire it. So what we're going to do this morning, and is we're going to put this into practice right now with one another. I'm going to ask you to pray for one another in a moment. All right? And I know for some of you that immediately begins to make you squirm in your seat. So let me be kind and compassionate and say, I don't care, do it anyways. No, I'm totally teasing. I'm completely teasing. Yeah. You would think by this point I should be serious, right? If you're really uncomfortable praying with other people, it's okay. Honestly, if you are comfortable praying with other people, then please just take the lead and take the role. But here's what I'd like. I just like to, maybe if you want to just get together with your family, that's fine, or some folks that you know, that's okay. But please don't let anybody be left out. So as you gather in your group, if you see somebody that isn't included, please invite them in. And just take a moment and pray for one another to experience the kindness and compassion of Jesus in their life, that God would use them to be kind and compassionate to one another. Can you do that? I know you can. All right? Again, please, I don't want to force anybody into this. But my goal here is to help you begin to practice this with one another. Boy, if we can't practice it here, how are we going to do it when we're outside here, right? Show kindness and compassion to one another. Even if your prayer is as simple as, Lord, may they know your compassion and kindness and may you use them in compassion and kindness. If that's all you pray, and if you whisper it, they don't even hear it. That's okay. It's okay. All right. So I will say I am pushing you a little bit to put this into practice this morning because it's good for us. It's good for us. And you're like, yeah, you say so. So here's what I want. I'm going to invite the worship team. All right, come on back. And we're going to play. We're going to worship a little bit. I'm going to invite you to stand. Stand right where you are. I'm going to pray real quick. And then I'll get you to find people to pray with. Father in heaven, thank you so much for how much you love us. God, I pray, Lord, that as your people, Lord, as your people now, may your spirit come and rest here. God, people that maybe feel a little bit anxious or uneasy about praying for one another, Lord, may they just experience right now your love, your compassion, how much you love them, even in the midst of their own struggle or insecurity. It's not, Lord, it's not about how we perform for you. It's just about how much we love you. So, Lord, may this just turn right now into a room that is full of your love for you and for one another. Help us, Lord. Help us. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. We love you. We ask God for your help in the next few minutes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.